Order.
Are there any select committee reports?
A bill which would require judges to disclose their financial interests in the same way MPs are required to was this week the subject of submissions to the Justice and Electoral Committee, which heard from Bar Association representative Barrister Justin Smith. He opposed the bill and questioned the necessity for judges to reveal their assets and financial interests.
99.9% completely and utterly, thoroughgoingly irrelevant to what a judge does. So most judges would think, why do I have to disclose this sort of stuff at all? It's not that there's anything to be ashamed of. That's not the issue. The issue is just a fundamental principle of privacy of personal information.
Mr. Smith said if passed into law, the proposed changes would see fewer lawyers aspiring to the judiciary.
There are already quite a few reasons why an otherwise successful barrister would think twice or perhaps even three times about going onto the bench. You have a degree of loss of freedom because you have to sit there all day doing what you're told, where you're told and when. And secondly, because there are financial constraints. Most people think that judges are well remunerated, and on one level they certainly are, but by comparison with what the better members of the bar and firms can earn, the remuneration isn't all that great.
Mr. Smith said that was enough to put off some barristers.
So it really doesn't take a lot extra for an otherwise suitable candidate for judicial appointment to think yet again and decide, no, this is it. Now's not the time, if there ever was a time, which I doubt, where you want to erect yet another barricade or disincentive for judicial appointment.
Bar Association representative Barrister Justin Smith making a submission on the Register of Pecuniary Interests of Judges Bill to the Justice and Electoral Committee on Thursday. That member's bill is in the name of Green MP Kennedy Graham, and the committee is due to report it back to the House by January 16. Earlier this week, on Wednesday, the Finance and Expenditure Committee continued hearing submissions on proposed changes to the emissions trading scheme. One submission came from carbon farm management consultant Murray McClintock. He rubbished those who said bringing farming into the ETS was unnecessary.
Now, a number of people have said this morning that we're not seeing any progress internationally. I very much dispute that. When we have countries like Kazakhstan and Vietnam bringing in emissions trading schemes, Mexico, these are places that we would expect would have higher priorities, perhaps socially and economically, that might occupy their time, but they are trying to do their bit.
Dr. McClintock's organisation seeks to encourage farmers to plant trees.
And I said, well, tell you what, I'll give you a free assessment. I'll sit down, we'll go through your farm budget, how many cows have you got, how many bobby cows do you send to the works every year, how many kilograms of milk solids do you send? I'll do it for nothing, just to reassure you. And I can't even persuade people to take me up on that offer of my time for free, because they say, oh, it's never going to happen, Murray. I'll tell you what, I'll come and talk to you in 3 or 4 years and we'll worry about it then. It's not even in my 5-year plan.
Dr. McClintock said it was obvious why farmers were reluctant to curb emissions.
That is because they don't have a clear incentive to do it. If you can point me to a market where you get significant innovation and change without there being some money involved, I'd love to see it. And that's really the principle here, is agriculture is not going to start moving in that direction until they get a clear incentive. Lots of farmers are keen to give it a go, but they're not going to actually put some money into it. Their bank managers aren't going to stump up with the cash until there's a clear incentive there.
Carbon farm management consultant Murray McClintock making a submission on the Climate Change Response Amendment Bill to the Finance and Expenditure Committee, which is due to report it back to the House by October 17. And finally this week, and also on Wednesday, a petition was presented to the Health Committee asking Parliament to consider the needs of people with chronic fatigue syndrome. Speaking in support of the petition was GP Rosamund Vallings.
Priorities that we see for government here in New Zealand, and there's always a long list, of course, but we would see for sure the importance of trying to get a reliable diagnostic test, because this is an illness for which there is no specific test, and then following on from getting a proper biomarker so that people can be adequately and properly diagnosed, we would be looking to get help to research potential treatment.
Dr. Vallings called for more public awareness of chronic fatigue.
Public awareness, of course, but education of health people, health professionals, teachers who are often groping in the dark when they have students with this illness, and government agencies, particularly people with work and income, where people with this illness are often shunted aside or not understood.
GP Rosamund Vellings speaking in support of a petition calling on Parliament to consider the needs of people with chronic fatigue syndrome. I'm Rhys Lyon reporting for parliamenttoday.co.nz with funding from the Office of the Clerk.